Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ike, we have a guest on today's episode of Believe in Steelers. And before we get to today's guest, let's pay the bills first. Today's episode brought to you by betonline.ag. Marcus March is here. We're well into tournament play for college basketball. It's the NFL offseason. We'll have over-unders, props, spreads, anything you can bet on. Betonline.ag is the place to do it.
Yeah, whatever. 365, 24/7, regardless on what sport it is, make sure y'all go to betonline.ag.
Use our promo code on your screen right now. That's BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, have Cut.com as a presenting sponsor of Believe in Steelers. Ike, it's a peer-to-peer social betting app. I'm in North Carolina. Online sports gambling just turned legal this week. Right. So if you want to share your bets with family members, friends, Cut.com allows you to do that.
Yeah, regardless on what it is, again, don't cut it out. Just make sure y'all go to cut.com.
We have a promo code Believe Steelers. That's BLEAV Steelers. All one word. That's on your screen right now. If you're watching the Believe in Steelers show, we'll put that link in our show notes. Very excited to have cut.com as a sponsor of the Believe in Steelers show. Ike, welcome in. Always good to see you. Swagging you, two-time Super Bowl champion and Steelers scout. It's been a busy start to the offseason. Yeah, it's the last 12 to 24 hours have been kind of crazy. And so it's like, okay, you know, who can we talk to about everything that's going on? And Ike, feel free to welcome in today's guest.
Yeah, Mr. Brian with the Post Gazette. Been doing it for a long time. Always good to see him when I come over to Pittsburgh. Always good to see him in the building. So Brian, thanks for coming aboard to talk to us about this free agency frenzy.
Yeah, no problem, guys. I've had Ike on our show at the Post-Gazette, so it's only right I return the favor. And, of course, I've checked you guys out many times because it's sort of unmatched insight from a guy like Ike. And Mark, you do a great job steering the ship, so happy to be here.
Appreciate that, Brian. I want to ask before we get into the free agency, you've been with the Post-Gazette for a long time. What was your first interaction with Ike?
Well, here's a funny anecdote, and Ike might feel some like phantom pains from hearing this, but before I covered the Steelers, this will be my 6th season on the Steelers, which is crazy. But before that, I was on like the copy desk doing the late night grind, writing the headlines. And I remember seeing the photo of Ike when you broke your, I don't know if it was your forearm. Or whatever. Yeah, And I tweeted that photo out from one of our great photographers. I think like Rappaport or Schefter, or one of those guys way up in the NFL stratosphere, retweeted it, and that thing sort of went viral. So that was kind of my first, like, you know, I wasn't covering Ike at that point, but sorry, Ike, I used your pain and unfortunate circumstances for a little bit of a social media boost back then.
Yeah, that forearm, that wasn't painful, losing that Super Bowl against Green Bay. Yeah, I remember the picture.
Oh, my gosh. Like, they could not have gotten a better shot of arms just aren't supposed to do that.
Nah, to be honest with you, I really didn't feel anything. Like, I heard it. Like, sound like a tire blew out. So, when that happened, I heard it. I looked down. I already knew. I'm like, man, y'all got to come get me. Went back in the locker room, they air cast it, came back to the sideline. My teammates were looking at me like they saw a ghost. Like, what the hell are you doing on the sideline? I'm like, bro, ain't nothing I can do. I got to wait till I get back to Pittsburgh anyway. So and there's no need for me to be back there. I still want to see the game. But, nah, that wasn't painful, man. And losing that Super Bowl to Green Bay, that was real painful.
It was friendly fire too, Ike, right?
Yeah, LT hit me. And as soon as he came close, I said it in my head, like, this dude about to break something on me. But it broke my fall.
I was going to say, you're such a durable player that, you know, somebody would have to literally snap your arm and have to keep you off the field. And, well, lo and behold, that's pretty much what happened. Had to happen. So,
yeah, it happened. I came back, too. That's the crazy thing. I really should have sat that entire year. But I didn't want to come off the field. I got tired of seeing my boys. At least I thought I got tired of seeing my boys on the field, and I came back.
And here we are all these years later talking. Incredible. Incredible. Let's get right to the Russell Wilson news. And Brian, I'll ask this in two parts. Let me ask this one at a time. What's the glass half full case for the Steelers signing Russell Wilson to a 1-year deal?
Yeah, I mean, the glass half full, you can't get a better value than that. You know, that was already known when we saw that he was going to be coming here because of the veteran minimum stuff on the table and all the offset language in his contract from the Broncos. So it really didn't, it was a net sum of zero for him to come here and take the vet minimum because he's still getting that money from Denver. But then when you see just what's going on with the quarterback market around the league, it makes it look even better when you see teams kind of, you know, paying through the roof for Kirk Cousins and paying through the nose a little bit for Gardner Minshew and all of that. So to me, that's sort of the most obvious way to put a positive spin on it is, you know, if you're Omar Khan and your job's to extract the most value out of your salary cap situation and you're 53 every season, you can't get a better bargain than that. Unless, you know, for some reason, if Kirk Cousins would have said, hey, I want to come play for the vet minimum, which we know was not going to happen. He's getting buku bucks. So it makes all the sense in the world from an analytical perspective, a money ball type approach by the Steelers front office there. And it's almost like any good performance you get out of Russell just be the cherry on top.
Ike, I haven't talked to you about this. Hop in here. Right.
I just think Russ wanted to be there. I mean, Russ could have got some money elsewhere. If you think about it, somebody would have gave Russ more than, you know, 1.5, 1.2 million. So it's a win-win on both sides. It's a win-win for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the quarterback situation, still developing and growing Kenny Pickett. At the same time, you get a veteran guy, Super Bowl winner in Russ, who knows how to be a professional on and off the field. So, and you get him at a vet minimum. So Russ could have got money elsewhere, I think. But I thought for Russ, he really had to want to be in Pittsburgh. And just scrolling around, landscaping the NFL world, it's a lot of players that would love to play for Coach T. A lot of players that want to play for Coach T. So I'm sure Coach T sat him down. I'm sure he sat with our new OC, Arthur Smith, they sat down. But I'm sure Coach T had a lot to do with that because 1.5 is 1.5 at the same time. Denver's still paying him, like you say, buku bucks, I think, $38, $39 million. But Russ easily could have got $15 million from another team. So for me, that just showed me Russ kind of wanted to be there to be a Pittsburgh Steelers. But my personal opinion, I just think a lot of players, because I'm just hearing it year in and year out, they just love playing for Coach T.
Let me say this, Ike. We talked on the phone yesterday. I hope that I can have some sort of acquisition one day, some sort of career move where I say $1.2 million is a bargain. So
yeah,
let me preface that there.
No, but I think that's a great point by Ike because, you know, Rod, he probably could have gone to Vegas. You know, they need a quarterback. You know, we know some other teams where we met and had an exploratory meeting with the Giants. But, you know, that NFLPA survey came out. While it wasn't the kindest to the Steelers, Mike Tomlin's scores were way up there at the top of the league. And you think about someone like Russ, and he's only had two stops to this point in his NFL career. Who was he with? Pete Carroll. Quick little thing with Nathaniel Hackett as a rookie coach. And then Sean Payton. So he's been with two of the, you know, goats of the NFL coaching history. And, you know, you'd have to think it's attractive for him to reunite with somebody who's been around a long time, but maybe we'll connect with him a little bit better than those other two.
I want to talk some about Tomlin in a bit, but the glass half full, or excuse me, we talked about the glass half full perspective. What's the glass half empty perspective, Brian, when it comes to Russell Wilson?
Well, I think number one, you got to figure out, can he still play at an elite level? You know, the numbers look good, but you know, we know we don't want to be box score watchers either. There's better ways to assess these things in 2024. Numbers can lie. I'm one of those people who believes that. You know, no, there's always got to be context to it. But, you know, can he still extend plays and scramble at 36 and use, you know, that club in his bag that's always been his go-to? Because we know he's never been the biggest guy. And, you know, that presents some natural physical challenges trying to throw over the middle of the field and seeing everything that way. And the other deal that just I wonder a little bit in the back of my head, you know, you hear about some of the personality clashes in previous stops, you know, Seattle guys like Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch, you know, that made some criticisms of Russ known, at least after the breakup. Denver, you heard some things the last couple of years about, you know, did he connect with everybody in that room? Was he sort of one of 53 on a pedestal? Mike Tomlin, I think he's had to manage stuff like that before in the past, and now it'll be a challenge for him maybe again. Or you have Russ coming in here with just a different mindset, a fresh perspective. And yes, he's the highest paid player by an NFL organization with the Steelers, but the Steelers aren't paying him that much. So maybe he won't have the same kind of, you know, feeling that he did as the de facto leader in Denver and in Seattle, but you'd hope that he can certainly still bring some of those qualities, you know, even if it's not being the guy who's the center of attention in the Russell Wilson show.
Sure. You mentioned the scores that come out every offseason and Coach Tomlin scoring so high. You've talked to a lot of players in your career with your coverage with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Why does Coach Tomlin score as highly as he does among the players that you talk to? What differentiates him as a head coach compared to others throughout the league?
Well, I mean, honestly, Mark, I haven't been around many other head coaches around the league. I certainly watch and read, and, you know, you see them at times at the combine, you know, post-game pressers and whatnot. But, you know, whether it's talking to guys or just being in that locker room and observing at practice and at training camp, Tomlin connects with everybody from 1 to 90. And somehow if number 90 gets shipped out and a new number 90 gets shipped in for a week in Latrobe, he's still finding a way to try to get through to that guy. So I think players appreciate that. They especially those who get wise to the business side of things, and you're just a number to teams at the end of the day. But when a coach can, you know, put a face to that and ask you about your family and tell you about a memory and bring up an inside joke or whatever, I think players respond to that. I think players appreciate that, and word gets out, I imagine. Word gets around from the guys, you know, on the other 31, what it's like to play for Tomlin, what it's like to be around Tomlin. And, you know, he has interactions even with the opposing players at times, pregame and on the sidelines and stuff. So it sinks in through osmosis that way as well. You know, I'm not saying he's perfect, but I think he does better than a lot of other NFL head coaches as far as playing that game with his players, but also being genuine about it too, where they don't think it's coming from a phony place.
Coach T got a lot of Tomlinisms that he got come out, but he's just honest from the get-go. So as soon as you come to training camp, he has a saying, two dogs, one bone. And he puts up the matchups, and I mean the matchups between the players, between the guy who's going to dress and the guy who's not going to dress, a guy who's on the verge of starting and a guy who's in front of that guy who's on the verge of starting and trying to take his position. So he just keep it in meetings 100 with everybody, so nobody's lost in the dark. So you can't say, but he does this in front of everybody. So you can't say, look, I didn't know. And as a professional athlete, as a man, all you want to know is what you get yourself into and a coach who's going to tell you the truth. So feelings do get hurt, but that's just part of the business. But as a young man playing for Coach T, you just appreciate it. All right, at least I know what's going on. At least I know what's talked about in the coaches' meetings. At least I know what's talked about in front office. And he's just going to put it all out there. So you don't have to mentally, you don't have to be in the dark talking with Coach T. Another part of Coach T, guy, he just got a way of words. You know what I'm saying? Coach T is just one of them coaches with the way of words, and he just lets you be you. You know, so Either you're going to have to slowly but surely hurt yourself. It's inflicted pain when it comes down to Coach T and him not liking you, because you're going to like Coach T. You're going to like the environment he sets in that building. You're going to like his coaching. You might not like the opportunity as far as in playing, but you're going to like the honesty coming from his side. So Coach T just a mixture of pretty much everything you want as a head coach. But Coach T really cares about the man more than the player. That's why a lot of coaches, that's why a lot of players love Coach T, because he's always interested in what you got going on off the field. He's protected. I know he's protected more, people than anything. Young men, when it comes down to young men, on giving advice what to do, what not to do. So Coach T brings a lot of value, not only to the guys in the locker room, but just to, in my mind, the organization in general, because he just knows how to be a head coach. Being the head coach is not something easy. You got to be a CEO. You got to monitor the players. Also, you just got to stand firm with other grown men as your coaching staff. So, and you got to make them tough decisions. So Coach T just, it's hard to describe Coach T. Now I'm on the other side and I'm in the front office, man. When you just see the way Coach T work, Coach T go from offensive coordinator to defensive coordinator to managing men to helping out offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators to managing men again, coming in the front office to see what our thoughts on things, to sitting down with our analytical guys. He's just all over the place. So when I saw that a couple of years ago, how Coach T move and work around that whole building, I'm like, man, this dude is obsessed with football, but not only football, he's obsessed with the process and every inch of football. So that's what I think why players are so intrigued and want to play for Coach. And you said it right, B. That word just gets around. That word gets around, but like, you know what, man, y'all need to go play with Coach T. Or if I have an opportunity, I'm going to play with Coach T if he's still there. So that's just what it is. And it's been going on for years, because a lot of players say they want to sit down with Coach T. I just sat down with a few combine meetings and, guys just spark up. Coach T ain't going to shoot you no BS. He's going to shoot you straight forward. And kids love it. Young men love it. So that's all you can really ask for. But Coach T just different, man. He's all the way different. When I say he's obsessed with football and everything that come with it, I think the players, you can't BS players. So I think for Russell Wilson, he had a stint in Seattle, and I'm sure a few things the teammates had said about Russ, it kind of touched him, kind of hurt his feelings. So I think now Russ is on the other side where he got to understand, man, this is just what it is. Let me get back to it being us, not me. The one thing you value playing this sport, and the one thing you value just in general, and we all men, like, how people think about me, how do my teammates, how do my colleagues think about me? And saying them kind of words, I'm sure that was kind of hurtful for Russ. So now he's back in a situation, an opportunity where Russ can just really be Russ. As we can see, and we're going to talk about this, just acquiring stuff on defense, getting that defense locked and loaded. If you look at the offense, we got tight ends, we got running backs, we got a new OC, we got everything you want. So I think it's just a perfect opportunity now that we're talking about it for Russ really just to be Russ on the field and off the field. But that stint with Seattle, a couple of his teammates coming out and talking about him, it'll touch you because you can let the world talk about anything outside the locker room. I don't care what you say, but anything inside the locker room, it hurts you as a player, because you with those guys 24/7. You with those guys more than you with your family. You hang with those guys. Y'all go through more than anything. So I think, like I said earlier, B and Mark, this is just a perfect situation financially and opportunity for Russ and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ike, really well said. Before we get to some of the other Steelers moves, I'm going to use a Tomlinism to ask one more Tomlin question of Brian Batko. At this juncture in your career, do you have a favorite Tomlinism?
Oh, man.
See what I did there?
There are Tomlinisms that get thrown out at the press conferences, the people like me. And then there are Tomlinisms that get thrown out in practice to people like Ike. So, there are sort of the two sides of it. Sometimes they intertwine, but, other times there's stuff that's left for the players on the field. And then there's probably the Tomlinisms we don't even see that get said in team meeting rooms and in all those deals behind closed doors, maybe the ones that you can't say or print in the newspaper. But, you know, smile in the face of adversity is one that he's been going to a lot. I think that's just generally good life advice, honestly. Like, some people might say it's corny, but I mean, you do have to do that a lot of times in whatever you might be going through in any walk of life. So he says it a lot. You hope players don't tune it out. But yeah, I mean, you have to smile in the face of adversity. The Steelers have been through plenty of adversity over the last few years. And, you know, it's always adversity when you're not the team raising the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the day. So I think that's one that if you could just summarize every reason why Steelers ownership and everybody involved with that franchise still thinks that Tomlin's the guy for the job, that one would probably be it for me.
All right. We talked a lot about players wanting to come play for Coach Mike Tomlin. And one of them yesterday, Patrick Queen, linebacker coming over from the Baltimore Ravens, 3-year deal worth up to $41 million. I know he is a very good player. What kind of caliber of linebacker are we talking here, Brian, when we talk about this acquisition for the Steelers?
I think all pro caliber linebacker. I don't think last year was a fluke. I know there are some, you know, more or less detractors of Queen who think he was able to raise his play because of being next to Roquan Smith. And, you know, I would say, yeah, there might be something to that, but that's a double-edged sword. If you're not any good, the good player next to you is going to be the guy making all the plays, right? So I think that can work both ways. The fact that he was still able to stand out and be that productive and make that many game-changing splash, even with another all-pro caliber linebacker next to him, I mean, that just says to me Patrick Queen is no slouch. And we've known this. It's not like he's a one-year wonder. He was an immediate impact starter for the Ravens as a first-rounder. Yeah, he might have had some growing pains, but who doesn't in the NFL, especially at that position? So I think this is a great move by the Steelers. I was actually pounding the table for them this time last year to go after Terrell Edmonds' brother, Tremaine. You know, he ended up getting crazy money from, I think it was the Bears after his stint with the Bills. So I've thought for a long time now it was time to just sort of bite the bullet and, you know, pay out a big salary to a really good inside linebacker. A move like bringing in Russell Wilson gives you the financial flexibility to do that, even with paying TJ and Cam and Minka and Highsmith and Larry. So I love this move for the Steelers. Patrick Queen seems like a Steeler to me. We go back to the Mike Tomlinisms, and Queen might have taken one the wrong way early in his career, I guess, that he's spoken about when Tomlin was in his ear chirping him saying, "You're not a Raven. You shouldn't be over with the Ravens." He didn't mean you can't play. He means you can play, and he wishes he would have gotten you in black and gold. So this seemed like something that was preordained and you know, Tomlin was working behind the scenes on for quite a while.
Yeah, I always kind of evaluate moves of how do fan bases respond when you add a player from their team. And I know everyone that are Ravens fans are pumped that they got Derrick Henry, but losing Patrick Queen now to your division rival, your chief rival, that to me is always a good omen.
They didn't let him walk because he's trash. They let him walk because Roquan Smith, yeah, he might be a little better at this point in his career. Trenton Simpson was a great draft pick by them last year out of Clemson. He's ready to ascend and be a starter on a cheap rookie deal. And guess what? They got to pay Lamar all that money because he's Lamar. So that's why they had to let Patrick Queen walk. If you're the Steelers, you know the Ravens are a good organization. It's not a bad thing to get a guy who's spent his first 4 years with them but wasn't able to come back for whatever reason.
Yeah, and this is also a position too, like the oversimplification to me from more of a fan standpoint is like, this is a position that you needed to get right ever since Ryan Shazier got hurt. And there have been a lot of inside linebackers that the Steelers have gone through. They demand a lot from their inside linebackers, considering they run a 3-4 defense, they handle communications and everything. I thought Omar Khan actually did a very good job this past offseason with Cole Holcomb, Quan Alexander, and Landon Roberts, but each of those players dealt with injuries in the 2023 season.
I mean, O been on fire. O on a mission. I work with O. We call O old con artist. You know, O does it again. But O has is been doing, in my mind, just, you know, a lot of untraditional things that the Pittsburgh Steelers usually don't see, which is a good thing. O is evolving. O is aggressive. O understands. O wants to win Lombardi's as a GM. And you can tell he's making the moves. O have something. He has a plan, and he's sticking to his plan. And right now his plan has been working, you know. And that's getting guys who you possibly couldn't get because you only got 7 to 8 draft picks. But getting guys, you know, that are Steelers. And Queen is a Steeler. Quan is a Steeler. Lando is a Steeler. Acquiring Dante, the cornerback, is a Steeler. So when you just look at it, I really named like 4 guys from Louisiana, LSU, to be honest, which I think 3 of those guys went to LSU. So just looking at it like that, Omar and Coach T, you usually between head coaches and GMs, you know, the best teams see eye to eye. You know, they're on the same page. And O and Coach T, they're on the same page when it comes down to guys that they want in the locker room and who is a Steeler, who's not a Steeler. So that's really what it is. But O been conning, you know, for the past 2 years, he's been conning. But I tell O all the time, like, oh, you've been waiting for this moment all your life. You know, you sat damn near 20 years to get this opportunity to be a GM. And I seen him live in action leading up to the draft, the month of the draft, and the 3 days of the draft. And I told O, you turned into a totally different person on them draft days. He's locked in. Like, so that Hawk side come out of O on draft day. But that's what I was most proud of, seeing O and the way he moved them 3 days of the draft. You know, he was on a totally different planet when it came down. Really between, you know, everybody sitting in that draft room, owners included, they had to understand how locked in O was, and we all respected that. So that was just good to see. But yeah, Queen been a Steeler. We just couldn't get him at the time. Had the opportunity. I'm sure Cortez said, man, we ain't playing with this one. Get a man what he want and make sure he's wearing that black and gold. And that's exactly what O did. So you got a GM who once was and still is, you know, a contract guy. So he's been working on contracts since the Ricky Williams contracts from New Orleans. And we all know how organizationally friendly that was for the organization at the time with the Saints. Now he's working with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He just so happened to be the GM. So you catching a 2-2-1 when it comes down to a GM. So usually GMs just deal with the personnel and the scouts. But when you have a guy like O, who's been around contracts and know how to work contracts for his whole life, now you bump him up and make him a GM, and all he remembers and all he can talk about is, you know, still a legend in the 70s when he was the contract guy for Pittsburgh in the early 2000s and the way that locker room was and what he thinks needs to be in that locker room. You can tell him the kind of moves he's making. He's not waiting 3 or 4 years. O is aggressive, but O is very calculated. Very calculated. So he keeps everything to himself. That's what I love about O. But yeah, man, Queen going to fit right in. Mark, I think you said it best. Once we lost Shea, man, we were kind of still searching for Shea. Ryan Shea said we were searching for Shea because, knock on wood, if that young man didn't get hurt, I thought possibly he was heading to a Hall of Fame career. You know, it just made life much easier for a defensive coordinator when you got a talent and a guy like Shea. But at the same time, when you got a guy like Queen who's on the market, Pittsburgh ain't hesitating. So I don't know if Queen took it personally earlier in his career when Coach T said, man, you're a Steeler, you're not a Raven. But at the same time, we're both looking at each other in the mirror when it comes down to organizations. We draft kind of the same people. We have the same blueprint, old school, hard-nosed football. And that's just what it is. It's a hate on the field, but it's a mutual respect off the field when it comes down to the Ravens. So we just got us another Steeler. We just had to wait 4 years to do it.
Yeah, I was talking to an analytics guy who follows the whole league, and he said there was actually like some sort of mock contract workshop for people in that space a few weeks ago, and Queen was estimated to get like 18 mil per. So clearly the Steelers, you know, they even got a better deal than what was projected. And where's Omar from, Ike? From Louisiana, right?
From New Orleans. So, New Orleans.
Don't feed him that. He's had his eyes
on these LSU guys for a long time. He knows what he's getting.
It's something that bayou, that goddamn bayou, something in that water with that bayou, man. We're a little bit different.
I know you're still just smarting over never getting the honey badger in Pittsburgh, but
there's still time. There's still time.
Still time for him, but also making up for lost time with all these Tigers coming in.
Correct, right?
It all comes back to New Orleans for Ike. And I will say this, Ike, I've had your mom's gumbo. It is fantastic. So I will give you that. I will give you that. Let's go to the Deontay Johnson trade. He's headed to the Carolina Panthers. The Steelers also send over a 7th-round pick. They get back cornerback Dante Jackson and a 6th-round pick in return from Carolina. This fills a void to figure out who's the cornerback opposite Joey Porter Jr. I think the draft could also be an area where the Steelers go, considering you cut Patrick Peterson. Levi Wallace is an unrestricted free agent. He is likely not back as well. But, Brian, what'd you make of the trade that got announced last night on Tuesday night, now that Deontay's heading to Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, this one on paper, not as good of a value for the Steelers. But, I mean, I think when you look at this deep draft class of wide receivers, Pittsburgh's not the only organization that knows that. Every organization knows that. So that probably depresses what you're going to be able to get for a vet like Deontay, especially one who might be a rental going into the last year of his deal. And, you know, I've been saying for a while, Mark, in writing at the Post-Gazette, it's kind of a page out of the Steelers playbook. When you've got a guy who, I don't know if I want to use the word disgruntled, but not fully gruntled right now in the Steelers locker room. And
we'll just say gruntled, Brian, just gruntled.
Yeah. Not fully gruntled for sure. I mean, nobody was in that offense last season, but also just the financial and cap ramifications of it last year of his deal. You know, I don't think so many guys we've seen when the Steelers lock up the homegrown players, they take off like a rocket after they get that money. TJ Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, some circumstances out of his control, but Deontay just didn't do that. He didn't take that next step in my eyes. So, you know, maybe this is one where you cut your losses a little bit with him, but also, and I've been saying, you know, to everybody who's kind of in my mentions or whatever, being like, all right, now let's go get Calvin Ridley. Let's go use our first round draft pick on a receiver. I'm like, hold up. I think part of the reason you do this is to show George Pickens, like, this is your room now. Like you're the big dog now in the wide receiver room. I don't know if I'd want to go messing with that dynamic right away. Of course, I'd want to go get another good player at that spot. But I think part of the reason for getting Deontay Johnson out of the paint is now you're going to throw some alley-oops to George Pickens.
Mm-hmm. I like that basketball analogy. I will say this, when it comes to the drafts, it's been about 20 years since the Steelers went back-to-back drafts without selecting a receiver. They didn't pick one last year. They're going to draft a receiver in April. I don't know what round. I don't know when, but I promise you that will happen.
Yeah, had the double dip with George and Calvin a couple years ago, so that, you know, check that box for 2023. But certainly I'm with you there that it's time to start replenishing the young talent in that room. And, you know, you're doing so with a new offensive coaching staff as well, not just the coordinator, but a new receivers coach. So see what kind of style of guy, what kind of style of player they might be looking for. And, yeah, I mean, we know the Steelers know how to evaluate receivers, that's for sure. And it's time to get a nice 1B to George Pickens' 1A is the way I see it.
Yeah, they've been drafting Hall of Fame receivers for the longest, since the 70s with Swan and Stallworth and those guys. Then you go down to the late 90s with Hines and Plex. I mean, and then you hit the 2000s and San Antonio Holmes and the ABs of the world and those guys. So and then you fall right in line with a George P. You know, so you got GP. As soon as he stepped on the field, he was a one. Everybody knew that. there was no hezzy on none of that. You just knew the talent. You knew the gift from God. Like, he's just a one. He just got to understand he's a one. Now with this move, psychologically, he's been knowing he's the one. Now you got to be the one and the leader. So it's a little bit different from just being a one on the field. Now you're the one and the leader. With his maturity, his development, he's going to take on that role well. So the draft is deep when it comes to receivers. One thing I know about Coach Arthur Smith, just from looking at his background when he was with Tennessee, he liked big receivers. So A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. Well, nothing small about them. Them some grown men when it came down to receivers, 6'2", 225, 215, and some change. And when you look at the AFC North, you always try to go for, like, tough, hard-nosed receivers. One, who know how to catch in the cold. Two, who tough. Three, just understanding what AFC North football is. It's bully ball in the AFC North. Ain't nothing fancy for the AFC North. Ain't no Ferraris, ain't no Lambos up there in Pittsburgh and Baltimore. It's Ford trucks, Ram trucks, probably old school few Hummers. That's just the mentality when it comes down to the football play for the AFC North, and that's just what it is.
Hey, Ike, I'll take a dually truck just to make sure you jot that down.
I got that dually. I get that dually back this week, too. I can't wait.
Yeah, so you're looking at the draft, the bigger receiver. I mean, Ike, you mentioned A.J. Brown listed 6'1", 226, and then Corey Davis, 6'3", 209, from when he was in Tennessee.
And they drafted Drake London down in Atlanta with the Falcons. He's a big boy, too.
You're adding fuel to my fire here, Brian. Before we let you go, a lot still in free agency, a lot still between now and April, a lot of pro days with the draft. Steelers' remaining needs. Obviously, the center is probably most glaring on paper, but how else do you see the offseason shaking out? What other areas do the Steelers need to address?
Yeah, I think center and offensive tackle, specific right tackle, still be at the top of the to-do list for me. That's why I shoot down a little bit the idea of drafting another wide receiver in the first round. Things could change here the rest of this week, the rest of this month, but as the roster and depth chart stands, to me, in my eyes, still got to get that center or tackle in the first round and maybe even use your first two picks there. I wouldn't mind seeing another defensive lineman thrown into the mix to compete with some of these young guys who haven't quite gotten into the groove just yet. I think Keanu Benton will be good, but you know, the years between that, you know, you haven't gotten a ton of return on investment there. And then the other one that's kind of a sneaky need is safety. I think you got to go out and try to get a guy who going to complement Minkah Fitzpatrick well, allow him to get back, drop into that deep third and be the center fielder that he was his first few seasons here when he was balling out. So I think you can find young players like that in the draft, but they're also going to be on the free agent market as well. So those are sort of the three areas where I'm looking, and you know, we'll see what shakes out. I'm sure Omar Khan's got more up his sleeve. That's the funny thing to me. You got people being like, created a void at wide receiver by trading Deontay. I'm like, you don't think they know that? You don't think they know who's on their roster and who's like, yes, they're aware of that. So you know, there's going to be another shoe to drop there, and you know, we just don't know what it is just yet. Maybe somebody from LSU or Tulane. Who knows?
Ain't no telling.
I love it. I love it, Brian. Where can people check out your work? If there's anything that you need to plug over at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, always enjoy reading your coverage of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The floor is yours to plug anything you need.
Well, thanks. Yeah, post-gazette.com/Steelers. I think we'll take you right to the page. We've got all sorts of free agency and draft stuff going on there. And then, you can also check out our YouTube channel when you're done with the Believe Show with Mark and Ike, of course, Post-Gazette Sports on YouTube. We've got different shows up every day, usually leading with the Steelers because we give the people what they want. And on Tuesday specifically, I've got my Chip Tam and football show where I'm usually joined by a guest from outside the PG to get some different perspectives on things, whether that's a national writer, a former player, something along those lines. And of course, Brian Batko on Twitter, if you're still roaming through that, that crazy website. But yeah, thanks for having me on, fellas.
Appreciate you, B. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, anytime.
For our guest, Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and swagging you, two-time Super Bowl champion Ike Taylor, I'm Mark Bergen. Thanks for watching Believe in Steelers. We'll see you next time. Take care. So long, everybody.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.